If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
You're invited to the Writing Excuses Cruise, an annual event for writers who want dedicated time to focus on honing their craft, connecting with their peers, and getting away from the grind of daily life. Join the full cast of Writing Excuses as we sail from Los Angeles aboard the Navigator of the Seas from September 19th through 27th in 2024, with stops in Ensenada, Cabo San Lucas, and Mazatlan. The cruise offers seminars, exercises, and group sessions, an ideal blend of relaxation, learning, and writing, all while sailing the Mexican Riviera. For tickets and more information, visit writingexcuses.com/retreats.
Season 19, Episode 29. This is Writing Excuses.
A close reading on character. Barriers versus stakes.
15 minutes long because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Wan.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Howard. And I drove over here with some glass bottles in the back of the van that were full of what is essentially marmalade for making hot tea, for making like citron or honey tea. And every so often, I would hit a bump and I would hear the jars clink together. There were no speed bumps. A speed bump is kind of a barrier. Slow way down for it. The glass jars in the back of the van, those are stakes. Hmm. If you don't slow down for the speed bump, you will get marmalade all over everything in the back of the van. So there is my one-trick pony explanation for barriers versus stakes. Now, let's get out some other tricks. More ponies, please.
So we're looking at You Perfect Broken Thing by C.L. Clarke for this episode. And one of the things that I very much like about it is, well, there's a bunch of things that I like about this story, but it's a really good example of barriers and stakes. The barrier in this story is very clear and escalates. It's that our main character has to run a race. And so that's barrier one. Barrier two is that they have to run a race while they are sick. And then we've got this additional thing that there are family members that are depending on them. And the more that they practice, the sicker they get. The family members depending on them are the stakes. This is the reason that they're running the race. The need for the cure, which is what they earn when they run the race, is one of the stakes of this. So it's a really short story, but there are multiple barriers and there are multiple stakes all interacting simultaneously.
One of the things that works so well for me with this story, and I wish it worked less well because it's a me thing, not a story thing, and that is the description of physical pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The description of, well, it's this line at the very beginning. When I leave the kill floor, my legs are wasted. I shuffle to the women's locker room. I can't stand anymore. But I know if I sit, I'll never get back up. At least not for another hour. Oh, I feel so seen. What do the kids say these days? It me. So much it me right there. If I sit down, I will never get back up.
I also think that there's a great technique that's being used to demonstrate this a little later in the story. I use the railing like a cane, all my strength bent to keeping my feet for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 stairs. And you just feel in the punctuation that there's nothing else going on in the sentence. At that moment, everything stops for just the, I need to get from step 1 to step 14, and I cannot think about anything else because it's taking all of my will to get past this pain. And without even saying exactly what's happening, it's coming through so clearly in that moment.
One of the things I really love to see is when I can feel the writer in the story itself. Mm-hmm. I can feel their perspective in it. And, you know, I get such a sense of C.L. Clarke's own experience with exertion, with working out, with pain, with exercise, and it's coming through so clearly. And I think when you think about character, we think about projecting and empathizing with someone who's not us, but also don't forget the ways in which you can utilize what is you to really enhance the reading experience.
One of the places where the barrier and the stakes, the line between the two begins to blur is if you have experienced, if you've experienced the pain of that was a really tough workout and have experienced the pain of, I think I've injured myself. Mm-hmm. We get both of these. It takes a long time. I'm quoting now. It takes a long time for the lightning pain in my ankles, knees, hips to dissipate to a dull throb. For my own part, when I work out, which is not a thing I do much anymore, but when I've worked out in the past, if I start getting lightning pain, it's time to stop. I am past the barrier of I am exhausted, and I am into the stakes of how much do I really want to pay for the rest of this workout? Do I want to pay with not being able to walk tomorrow?
I think that this is a great example because it's so personal to you. And when you're trying to choose a stake for your character, you're looking for a stake that is tied to the character. You can have big global stakes, but when we're talking about character stakes, it's something that is going to affect the character's sense of self. So, we have this right in that first sentence, in the first paragraph. When I leave the kill floor, my legs are wasted. I shuffle to the women's locker room. I can't stand anymore, but I know if I sit, I'll never get back up. So that is directly tied to the character's ability. That this very small stake, if I sit, if I do the thing that I want to do, which is to sit down, that's my goal. I want to sit, but I can't. I can't. What is at stake is my ability to stand back up. I can't. I don't have that ability anymore. So when you're looking for those, you can interrogate the character's identity, which we talked about in the previous episode, to find the stake that is going to most directly impact their sense of self.
Yeah, and I think that the barrier, I think one of the things that really works for me here in terms of that identity barrier is if it's this hard to sit, to stand, to climb, and the stakes are so high for something that is much more physical exertion than Lord knows I'm doing on a daily basis, then how hard is it going to be? I really feel when the race starts, I am not anticipating that the main character is actually going to make it through, to be honest. Like, I'm like, you were not even making it from like barely to the starting line. How are you going to make it all the way through? And there's a surprise. I think I get the same surprise in ability that the character does, which is great. It brings me on the journey with the character because as coach is learning, like, oh, I actually did climb this wall and did murder that person. You know, I'm also learning that that's what they're capable of. And then that actually makes me identify with them more. And it makes the emotions of the story hit that much more, like much more of a, with much more of a punch.
In what is a very brutal story, one of the most brutal lines, in my opinion, is the end of the first section when it just says, this is not my first race.
Yeah.
And we understand that she has done this before and she may do it again in the future. That's how she's thinking about it. Even though we see how much her body is breaking down, we see how much she's at the limits of her ability. But the idea that she's been doing this for a while is just heartbreaking, and it sets the stakes of how important this is, that she is going to keep pushing herself to accomplish this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read a bit of a breakdown for you after the break.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
This week, I have got to plug one of my favorite books of all time, We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson. This is a voice story, like, from start to finish, in my opinion, which is why I love it so much. And it starts with this opening paragraph. My name is Mary Catherine Blackwood. I am 18 years old, and I live with my sister Constance. I have often thought that with any luck at all, I could have been born a werewolf, because the two middle fingers on both my hands are the same length, but I have had to be content with what I had. I dislike washing myself, and dogs, and noise. I like my sister Constance, and Richard Plantagenet, and Amanita Phalloides, the death cup mushroom. Everyone else in my family is dead. And if that doesn't get you to read We Have Always Lived in the Castle, I don't know what will, so check it out.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. I promised you some reading. Here we go. Our protagonist is climbing a climbing wall. The colorful rubber is rough under my fingers. I think of Little and try to imitate her, Gibbon's grace. Each contraction of my lats pulls me higher, and my biceps thrill at their strength. My legs forget their fatigue, and I'm a goddamn orchestra. Until I'm not. And the numbness webs across my back, a note out of tune. Maybe it started in my fingers, and I didn't notice. And now it's too late. I have been in that not exact position, not on a climbing wall, but I've been in that position more times than I care to count. It really struck home to me, the feeling of, oh, I can do this. I've got this. Oh, I am fine. And then all of a sudden there is pain, and I realize, not only am I not fine, I am not fine, and I am in a place where I should not have put myself. And this is another one of those barriers that blurs into stakes because we failed to clear the barrier properly.
So I want to talk about how to set up a barrier. Again, you're looking for something that that your character can't get through. So if you think about what their goal is, like her goal is to run the race. So if she can run the race well and quickly, then story is over immediately. So you have to put barriers. The barriers are the things that stop your character from achieving their goal. So the first thing we do at the beginning is we establish what our goal is, and then we have a series of barriers. And you can tell the reader what those barriers are and disguise it as part of the character thinking. So when there's a point where right before the section that Howard read to you, where she's thinking about, she puts the climbing harness on, and her teammates say, don't do that. You know, shut that shit down. You just ran a mile's worth of sprint. I didn't need him to tell me that. I calculated our needs the night before, our weak spots. I accounted for his lack of stamina, for Shell's lack of speed, my pain. Our weakness will come with us to the race. The wall is there too, and I need to be able to take it. So very clearly, we've laid out exactly what the problems are. We've foreshadowed what's going to happen in the race. And doing that allows the reader, knowing what the barriers are ahead of time, allows the reader to anticipate those and to anticipate the failure points and also to be surprised when they play out different ways. But all of those things are, again, still tied to that goal of I need to run the race. And we've also been told what's at stake if we don't run the race. So it's the here's the goal. Here are the things that are going to stop me from hitting that goal. And then when we actually get into the race, there are even more things that go wrong.
I so love that line. Our weakness will come with us to the race.
Yeah.
It's just, you just feel it in your chest mm-hmm. when you read that.
That's life, y'all.
But, yeah.
But also, Mayor Robinette, when you were talking, it made me think about the fact that the barriers also can exist in those ability, role, relationship, status. And that when a barrier hits in one, then maybe one of the others can be the thing that gets you past it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the other moment in the race where like the strength gives out and then somebody's like, you got this, champ, which as a former CrossFitter, like there is something very powerful, weirdly, about some random person being like, you can do it. It is the role. You are a champion, mm-hmm. a reminder of the role that helps you get forward a little more. And then when that runs out, it's thinking of the relationship yep. to the people that you need to bring this medicine forward to. So it makes me think about in my own work, how can I create a barrier in one of these areas and then solve it with another and then hit a barrier there and then solve it with another and sort of pass back and forth between the different aspects of character as a way to create story momentum.
Yeah. And I want to be clear that there are other ways to create barriers for your character. You can use milieu, so you know, and we'll see this in the race itself, where the place itself is the problem. You can create things with the questions, you know, that if a character has a question, they can't get the answer. I'm specifically in this section, because we're talking about character, thinking about barriers to the character and to their sense of identity. But I want to be clear that barriers can come in a lot of different ways.
It's important to note that the visceral, extreme connection that I developed to this story grows out of the very close parallel between the physical experiences of the story and some of my own physical experiences. It's challenging to set up a barrier or to set up stakes when that connection isn't apparent. The wizard who just needs to cast that spell right, but it's not tied to exhaustion or hunger or migraine headache or any, it's tied to some magical sense. Finding a way to communicate that so that it is personal to us, the reader, can be a challenge. And that's where, for me, stories that fail to deliver barriers and stakes in ways that resonate, that's usually why they fail. It's because for some reason, the world building didn't connect me to those things.
Because it's really about character choice, right? To bring all of these barriers and all these stakes back to creating a character that we are interested in, engaged with, whether we hate them, whether we love them, whether we empathize with them or not, you know, it has to be about choice. And so when this comes down to that moment of Coach in the mud pit, right, and making a choice about what she will do to win this race, what is worth it to her, I think that's one of the things that communicates so much about the character, about the stakes that are in front of her, and our understanding and compassion for her, even as she does something that in some ways is unforgivable.
I also really like how we're taught a little bit how to read that moment. So one of the things I love is the series of like the very long kind of sentence paragraph of just things that are happening that I will not read because it's very long. But there's the series of things that's going on in the mud and trying to get out of the mud. And when I was looking back and doing the close reading, I noticed that it's not the first time that we get this long sentence paragraph. We also get it with the meal the night mm-hmm. before, which is mm-hmm. also like a moment of like just really being in the moment. And so sometimes you can be in the moment with the food and the enjoying it and the companionship. And then, you know, the next day you're in a moment of survival. And I don't necessarily relate to life or death survival in that way, but I do relate to eating a good meal. And mm-hmm. I feel like the story sort of taught me a little bit how to take in that kind of sentence and how to be in that moment with the character, and then used it for something that I was less comfortable or less familiar with.
You know, we actually talked about that principle in the very first season of Writing Excuses a bazillion bazillions ago. The idea of get one thing, one small thing exactly right, and we will follow you along for the big thing. If you can connect me with the character enjoying a meal, mm-hmm. then I will stay connected when they are trying to cast color magic using their sense of octarine.
Yeah.
I love picking Clark for character because they do embodied characters so well, mm-hmm. right? They do sensory detail. I always feel I'm in the room with them. I feel like I can smell the things that the character smells, taste the things, feel the pain and the burn in my body, yeah. you know? And it's so wonderful to be so deeply entrenched in a perspective like this.
Yeah. And the other thing that I love about it is how they manage to do that with such often sparse description. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the section, I don't want to tempt the ache in my body, but I don't want to die tomorrow without remembering the good things my body does. So we're two bodies, the flexion extension, the slow eccentric stretch, and the isometric clinching hold over and over until we can release. It's like, she does not tell you what is exactly happening in that scene, but mm-hmm. you can understand it and feel it in your own body. The other thing that I want to call out about that particular section that I read is that this is also one of the two moments where the character makes it clear that she is not expecting to survive the race, mm-hmm. that her motivation has changed, which for me also helps with that moment in the mud, mm-hmm. knowing that this is something she's doing for other people, mm-hmm. that the relationship aspect mm-hmm. of it.
Drowning another runner is okay because she doesn't expect to survive herself,
yeah.
right? And if she weren't willing to sacrifice that much, it would make that moment less sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we get the moment at the end, which I don't know why it caught me off guard. I was surprised by it when she turns down the shot for herself and yeah. gives it to the kid. And in retrospect, it's of course. And that's what's so lovely about that moment is when you're doing character and you're setting up these stakes and all these things, getting to that moment of, oh, of course, this is what they would do, even when you didn't see it coming, is so much what lets character drive a story, because it means you're leaning into choice. It means that you've set up the stakes well, right?
It's ironic, almost to the point of a pun, to say, Mary Robinette, that example you read mm-hmm. is a fine example of muscular prose, because it's giving us so much information. All of the words are doing the metaphorical heavy lifting mm-hmm. for us, mm-hmm. Explaining to us what's going on. I've got the homework for you. We're going to return to the speed bump metaphor, but you're not allowed to use my speed bump and my jars. Write a short scene in which your character has to deal with a mundane obstacle. Then rewrite it as if that obstacle now has life or death stakes. How do you shift it to make those stakes clearer?
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Are you struggling to find time and energy for creative work or writing? Sandra Taylor has a new book that might help. Structuring Life to Support Creativity is a resource book for creative people who want to make more space in the life they have for the creative work they want to do. This book is drawn from 30 years' experience in juggling creative work along with everything else life throws at us. Inside the book, you can find such topics as managing your mental load, arranging your physical space, how to come back to your creative work after life goes sideways, the problem of motivation, and more. The whole book is written with a focus on adapting for how your brain works instead of trying to change you to fit expectations. The book is not prescriptive and instead provides concepts and tools so you can find the ones that work for you. This makes the book autism, ADHD, and neurodivergent friendly. Pre-order your copy today at sandrataylor.com. Just make sure that Taylor has an ER in the Taylor.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dongwon Song, Aaron Roberts, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.